Buck Martinez on the SDCCU fan hotline. Blue Jays announcer, longtime skipper of Major League Baseball. Buck, thanks for joining us. How are things in the Great White North today?
Well, everybody's pretty excited. As you mentioned, the Raptors are really have captured the imagination of this city, that's for sure. And they're a game away from going to the finals to match up against the Warriors. So everybody's pretty excited about that, that's for sure.
Who is a bigger deal right now in Toronto, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard right now. They're offering him multi-million-dollar condos to stay and re-sign with the Raptors, so I think he's a much bigger deal right now.
Wait, that was condos plural.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, so he's got his big mansion down here in San Diego. Do you think that the real estate in Toronto might be able to keep the former Aztec in Toronto for long-term?
Well, you know what? I think he's really been impressed with the support that he's gotten here since he's come to the Raptors. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what Toronto's all about. You get a chance to play here on a regular basis. And everybody thinks of it as being some remote destination, but it's anything but that. And the Raptors and the Blue Jays over the last several seasons and going back to the World Series years, this is a pretty good sports town. And everybody is behind the Raptors right now. And I'm sure there are going to be a lot of Blue Jays players at the Raptors game tomorrow night when they try to wrap up this Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, it's an incredible sports city, and I'm kind of bummed I'm not making the trip this year. From what I've seen, it seems like they're really, really going to embrace Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What have you just kind of noticed as the reaction to what he's done so far? I know he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but how has the city kind of started to embrace an incredible young talent?
Well, they embraced him in spring training, and then he got hurt. They were anxious for his arrival early on, and then he got hurt, and he had to rehab. And, you know, it was a little bit of a delay, but when he got here, you know, there was press conferences, a lot of media attention, and I think that kind of distracted him a bit. So it took him a couple of weeks to get his feet on the ground, and then he hit two home runs in San Francisco against the Giants. And, you know, now he's kind of relaxed, and you can see why everybody's so excited about a 20-year-old. And, you know, with the Padres coming in, everybody was anxious to see Tatis, but he's not healthy yet. But I know they're going to bring up Josh Naylor tonight, and he's from Mississauga, which is just a suburb of Toronto. So it's going to be an exciting weekend to see Naylor and then Cal Quantrill pitch on Saturday. There's a lot of good things going on, a lot of Canadian connections with the Padres right now.
Yeah, Buck Martinez joining us here on all Toronto radio on 97.3 The Fan here in San Diego. Pitching has obviously been a big problem for the Blue Jays this year. You had to go and get Edwin Jackson because I believe he had at one point three healthy starters. Yeah, I mean, Clayton Richard, a guy who we know well here in San Diego, he got hurt. Clay Buchholz got hurt. Who are the arms, aside from Marcus Stroman, who I think the Padres fans are going to be very interested in watching him because of all the rumors about a possible trade to San Diego with him. Other than that, who is throwing for the Blue Jays, and is it as big a problem as we're perceiving it to be right now?
Yeah, it was a bad situation coming out of spring training because the Blue Jays lost Ryan Barucki right out of spring training. He never broke with the camp. He pitched well for him last year as a rookie, and then Matt Shoemaker got off to a great start, and then he was lost for the season with a knee injury. And Clayton Richard made his debut yesterday and pitched very well over four innings. I mean, it was just his second game all season long anywhere. And he looked like he was going to be okay. But right now it's Stroman and Sanchez, Thornton, Jackson, and Richard. That's the five-man rotation. But injuries have been a concern right now. But Stroman's throwing the ball well. He'll match up against Chris Paddock on Sunday, so that's going to be an interesting matchup as well. But I think overall the things have kind of settled down a little bit with the return of Clayton Richard.
Yeah, Stroman Paddock's going to be outstanding. I want to kind of touch on some of the young prospects like Paddock and Guerrero. It seems like he's settled into a groove right now. Fernando Tatis came up right away and contributed in San Diego before his injury. Does it ever surprise you how some of these young guys just seem to, these days, seem to step into their major league roles and execute almost flawlessly as though it's not a huge leap, even though it is? I mean, so many young guys in the last 2 years, you go back to last season with Acuna and Juan Soto, it doesn't seem to be like this is really all that difficult a transition for them when it's the most difficult transition in sports.
Yeah, I think the difference nowadays is the fact these young players have been exposed to the attention for a long time. When Guerrero signed at 16, that was a big deal because his father was a Hall of Famer. And we saw Michael Chavis come up with the Red Sox over the weekend. He's already had 10 home runs. But I think because the younger players are exposed to so much attention, the Arizona Fall League, the Futures Game, travel teams as kids, and they all think that, you know, this is just another step in the progression, and it's not such a big deal. Years ago, you know, the Major Leagues was a distant dream that everybody had, and when they got there, they were overwhelmed. It's not the case anymore with these kids. They've been exposed to a lot of attention because of social media, for one, but because they've been exposed to a higher level of talent throughout their minor league careers.
How much also is it the fact that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. and even like Dante Bichette, Tyler Nevin, some of these other guys who are kind of the next in line, they grew up around major league clubhouses. They kind of understand the ebb and the flow and the vibe and what it really takes to be around a team for 162 games. How much of that conditioning is helping maybe accelerate some of these younger guys because they simply grew up in the culture?
It's absolutely a dramatic advantage for them. When we see Guerrero go around, and we go to Anaheim, and he's not talking with other rookies. He's talking with Albert Pujols. The same when we went to Minnesota. He wasn't talking to rookies. He was talking to Nelson Cruz. These have been his friends because he was around his dad when his dad was playing in All-Star games, and Albert Pujols talked about Guerrero as a seven-year-old at an All-Star game during a home run hitting contest because he was there with his father all the time. And the same can be said for Tatis, and Kevin Biggio is coming up tonight with the Blue Jays, and his dad, of course, is a Hall of Famer, so he's been around the major leagues. So nobody's overwhelmed by this, and I think for these second-generation players, it's a tremendous advantage for them to come in and have the comfort level that they have, and it's just like another game and something they expected to do their entire life.
What stands out to you about Vlad Jr. at the plate? I mean, we've heard so much about what he's able to do and the power he has, the plate skills he has, the discipline he has, and the strike zone control. From what you've seen in the major leagues thus far, what is it about him that is going to make him a special player?
It's how hard he hits the ball consistently. He's hit a few balls 120 miles an hour, and it's amazing how quick he can get through there. But, you know, he's hit some long home runs. He hit a home run 451 feet to dead center in San Francisco. And he's just one of those guys that you can see he's a special talent at the plate. He has great discipline. Unlike his father, he's not a free swinger. His dad could hit anything. And Vladdy Jr. has a very good appreciation of the strike zone. And I think early on when he was having his struggles, he was trying to hit everything. And now he's much more patient. And recently he's had more walks than strikeouts.
Another guy who's a rookie who's swinging the bat really well is Rowdy Tellez. Where did this kid come from? Is this a flash in the pan? Is this a guy who was going to continue to lead the team in home runs and RBI unless Vladimir Guerrero Jr. goes up and catches him? He's a first baseman. He's got 9 home runs. I mean, he's got an OPS that's climbing above 800 now. How is this kid shown up and kind of where did he come from? He didn't hear a whole heck of a lot about him on the whole, you know, top 100 prospects list and all that good stuff.
Right. Rowdy Tellez was a late-round pick by the Blue Jays because he had signed to go to USC. He's actually from my high school, Elk Grove High School, outside of Sacramento, and I've seen him since he was a senior in high school. He's got big power. I mean, he's got legitimate power at any parts of the ballpark, and he's done some dramatic things this season as far as adjusting to major league pitching, hitting left-handed pitching, and I think he's going to play every day now, whether it's a first base splitting time with Justin Smoke or as the DH. But he's got big power, and you can't find a lot of big natural power hitters like Rowdy Tellez. So he's the real deal. He had a great year a couple of years ago in Double A. Had a couple of mediocre years in AAA and then came up last year and really got off to a great start in September, and he's carried that into this season. But he's going to play every day now, and I think the Blue Jays are confident that he's going to provide the left-handed bat that they've been looking for.
I think it's pretty clear the Blue Jays have some nice young pieces that they can build around for the future, maybe need to fill in a little bit in the rotation. But that division is just so tough. And when you add Tampa Bay, what they're doing and what they're able to do with finding guys and converting them into all-stars out of nothing and the payrolls of the Yankees and the Red Sox and the way those teams have flourished recently. Just how tough is it to compete in the American League East on a day-in, day-out basis?
It is very tough, and we just got we lost 3 out of 4 to the Red Sox here over the last couple of days, and you know, they're a terrific team. Of course, they're reigning world champs, but you know what? The Blue Jays have been in this division before, and they've won in this division before, and I think it's just a cyclical thing now where they're on the rebuilding end of things, while the Red Sox and the Yankees are a little bit closer to consistent contention. But Tampa Bay, you're right. They've done a remarkable job year in and year out, developing players, signing players, finding talent wherever they could. And it's a tough division. There's no getting around it. The Blue Jays have never had a lot of success playing Tampa Bay down in St. Pete, and that's where they're headed on Monday. So I think that the organization realizes they got to get a lot of depth going before they're ever going to get back to contention like they did in 15 and 16.
Buck Martinez joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline on 97.3 The Fan. Buck, we don't hear a whole lot about the Blue Jays down here in San Diego. And we know about it with the history with, you know, the 92 and 93 teams, some of the great players who have been there. But what is it about San Diego that folks in Toronto might know? I mean, is this one of those series where they're kind of like going, it's a novelty because of the whole interleague thing? Or is there some real eyeballs on this team, maybe because Manny Machado being in Baltimore for all those years? But is this something that Toronto baseball fans are looking to see? I'm curious what's all about the Padres.
No, I think the fans are very curious. And you mentioned Machado, of course. We've seen him over the years with Baltimore, and Eric Hosmer. Blue Jays matched up against the Royals a couple years ago in the playoffs, so they know all about Eric Hosmer as well. And Will Myers got his story with Tampa Bay. And, of course, I think Guerrero, I know, is going to be interested in seeing Franmil Reyes because they both grew up in the same town. And, you know, Guerrero is good friends with Reyes' younger brother. So there's a lot of connections here. But I think the fans are very interested because it's a team that got a lot of attention because of signing Hosmer and Machado the last couple of years. But it's a talented team, and I think that everybody is anxious to see the Padres again. It's always interesting to see interleague play. And now with Josh Naylor coming up from the minor leagues to make a debut over the weekend, I think it's going to be a real special weekend, especially with Naylor and Cal Quantrill both appearing in this series.
That's awesome. Buck Martinez, thank you very much for the time. Enjoy the series, and make sure you go and get yourself a Nick Nurse hat. With the two.
All right, I'll look forward to it.
Awesome,
actually,
thanks, Buck.
Going to the game Saturday night, so we're all looking forward to it.
Oh, so you might get yourself a championship there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Awesome, thank you, Buck.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
That's Buck Martinez on the SDCCU Fan Hotline.